Well, it's you know, playing Barcelona at the moment, it's going to be massively difficult. Any side you're playing, you know, you're dealing with the likes of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. You deal with them, then you've got to deal with Iniesta in central midfield. You deal with him, and then you've got Dani Alves on the right, Jordi Alba on the left. You know, it's a massive ask for Arsenal. What I'd say for Wenger to do, he's got to sit back, he's got to soak it up, and he's got to use the pace of Theo Walcott on the counter-attack. Mesut Ozil is a key man. He needs to be involved throughout, you know, trying to get in the sort of number 10 slot, threading balls through to the likes of Sanchez and the likes of Walcott. But it is a massive ask. You say Barcelona are the best team in Europe at the moment, so seeing Arsenal progress to the next round, it's looking a little bit unlikely.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, but they've got the number over Bayern Munich when the chips were down, haven't they? They've got a victory over them at home. Could they do the same to Barcelona?
Well, that's the thing. If they set up, you know, how they set up against Bayern Munich in that home game, they were absolutely fantastic. They worked so hard. You know, the likes of Ertzfield, that's not really renowned for his work rate, he was brilliantly dropping back into the left side. Aaron Ramsey on the right was doing it, was covering loads of ground. I think with Arsenal, they need to get the likes of Coquelin and the likes of Cazorla back into this side as soon as possible, obviously both out injured. But if they can get those back in, then they've got Ramsey on the right. They've got a midfield that can work hard and then expose Barcelona on the counter-attack. We all know how to beat this Barcelona team in theory, in a way. You're going to sit back, you're going to attack down where the fullbacks have vacated the space, because they obviously like to they like to join the attack, was what I was looking for. So it's a massive ask, but can they do it? You know, they've lost a number of times over Barcelona in the last few years, so it is kind of time for an Arsenal win here.
Yeah, you know what, they are due a win over a side like this, and the way that they're going at the moment, Mesut Ozil may as well rename himself Mesut Ozil Assist, really, for the way he's playing at the minute, and Giroud's finding a bit of form. If they can get those players back, you know, the likes of Coquelin, as you said, and get those players firing, then they've got as good a chance as any. So it's a big, big draw. I don't think anybody really wanted to take on Barcelona, to be honest with you. It was always going to be difficult, but Arsenal are the ones. Are they going to progress from the last 16? We'll find out. Seems to have been a little bit kinder to Manchester City, the draw, doesn't it?
100%, yeah. That's probably the best draw they could have got. And Dynamo Kiev as well, they've got a ban on the home fans attending the game due to crowd trouble against Chelsea. So that intimidation factor of going away to the Ukraine has sort of lost for City. So it's City's biggest chance in recent years to go through to the quarterfinals. One player that you've got to watch out for is Yarmolenko. He's a very creative left winger who likes to come into his right foot. If City can get the grasp on him and then play their own game, you know, with Sergio Aguero hopefully being fit come February, you know, you never know with Aguero, they've got a real good chance to progress.
Isn't Yarmolenko a real Premier League target? So many clubs were after him, weren't they, in the summer?
Oh, he's a brilliant player. He's very creative. He's sort of the heartbeat of this Dynamo team on the attack. They look to get the ball to him as early as possible and sort of let him cut inside, let him drive at the opposition. So he could be, you know, you come January, Chelsea looking around for some players, or potentially Manchester United that aren't creating enough chances in the Premier League this season. You know, Yarmolenko could be a real big target for those two clubs.
Yeah, I've heard his name linked with so many. I know Liverpool have been into him in the past. Everton have been after him. There's been so many clubs that have been looking at that lad. And nobody seems to have made a move, which I always find a little bit weird. Chelsea taking on PSG. That's going to be some game, isn't it? PSG, the money men. And, of course, you know, Chelsea, not strange to spend a bit of cash themselves.
Yeah, it's like the original money men versus the current money men at the moment. There's massive narrative with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Got sent off in the last game between Chelsea and PSG. And you're looking at players like Angel Di Maria. He got a hat-trick of assists versus Lyon at the weekend. And it could be time that he finally kicks on. Obviously, he didn't play the best football at Manchester United. Was amazing at Real Madrid before that. So we could see if Di Maria and Zlatan can sort of bring that partnership together. If they can click, you're looking at a very, very dangerous tie for Chelsea.
Yeah, this could be a really, really nasty one, this, for Chelsea, if they're not careful. They really do need to make sure that their defence is tight. And, of course, isn't this going to see the return of one particular person to Stamford Bridge?
Oh, David Luiz makes his return.
50 million quid.
Very, very interesting. Obviously, they won the lottery in a way, Chelsea selling him for that much money. But I think with Mourinho, what he's got to do, he's got to get another big performance out of John Terry and Ivanovic. Could it be the last for these two players, obviously coming to the end of their careers? But if he gets a performance out of those two, they've got Courtois in goal, that's obviously one of the best keepers coming back from injury in the world. So Mourinho is the man that you could see this Chelsea team sort of going forward. Obviously, in the league, they're so far away from the Champions League spot, so this is probably their only opportunity to get back into Europe.
Yeah, this is probably the best way, isn't it? I don't know whether they're even going to make the Europa League spots. I mean, they're not exactly dominant. Of course, tonight they're playing Chelsea, aren't they? As they go against Leicester, the big informed side. Leicester could be... This is crazy when you think about it. Leicester, could be top of the Premier League by Christmas.
I mean, it'll be absolutely nuts, won't it? It's brilliant, though. It's brilliant to see the success story. But the question is, will Jamie Vardy be at Leicester City after the January transfer window?
Oh, he's not played any.
Exactly that. You know, he could go there. He hasn't played any European football, so he's not cup tied. So you might have the big boys, you know, Real Madrid looking at him, Chelsea looking at him. It could be really a really interesting January for Jamie Vardy.
It really, really could be. It's going to be such a bonkers season altogether. I think it's going to be very, very crazy. And then you look at the league as well. Just sort of diverting. I'm just seeing Chelsea now in 16th place.
Fighting relegation, aren't they?
The
battle
relegation.
Is on.
Yeah, Norwich. Norwich could overhaul them if they're not careful. This is bonkers, isn't it? But let's move on to the Europa League, shall we? Because this has been an interesting set of draws today. It still feels a bit weird, this, saying Manchester United in the Europa League. It's going to happen, though, Thursday night. BT Sport Europe, as the channel will be going around some clubs, they're going to be taking on the Danish side, who were formed when Manchester United won that historic treble in 1999, taking on FC Midtjylland.
Midtjylland is such a great story for us data guys. You know, football data is what Score could do. It's the heart of our business. And Midtjylland are a club run on data. Their player recruitment is all done on data analysis. They've analysed hundreds and hundreds of set pieces. They don't throw their centre-backs up for corners, which is quite interesting because they've analysed so many set pieces that they feel teams get caught out on the counter-attack when they put their centre-backs up because of the lack of structure when the opposition's breaking. So Midtjylland is a great example of a team that's used data, found the little advantages in football. So it'll be fascinating. You know, it's just good to see the Danish champions versus the former champions of England. It's just going to be a brilliant tie.
It's going to be one heck of a tie, isn't it? Midtjylland were loving it on Twitter as well. They're so excited that they're going to be getting a trip to Manchester United in the second leg of that game. The other ties with our English sides, I think this one's the tougher one, maybe, although you may prove me wrong in a few moments. Fiorentina have got Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, well, this is a bad tie for Tottenham Hotspur. Fiorentina are playing great football this season. They're playing a lovely 3-4-3 system. Paulo Sousa's the manager, ex-QPR, but he's really brought a nice style of play to Fiorentina. They play very much like Barcelona. They love to dominate the ball. And they've got a Premier League old boy in Niko Kranjčić up front, and he's just been scoring all sorts of goals in Serie A this season. Only Higuain and Eder scored more goals than him. So he's one to watch out for. But Tottenham, they've been playing some beautiful football under Pochettino. So it's just going to be a great tie. It's going to be you're going to see some real brilliant football, brilliant phases of play. It's just, I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game, though. I'm looking forward to it myself. But the one I'm kind of selfishly more looking forward to is Jurgen Klopp, of course, returning back to Germany. And he's going to be taking on Augsburg in the elimination stages of the Europa League. Now, we saw 2-2 at Anfield yesterday against West Brom. That sort of act of defiance at the end of the game, I'd say, really, with the team kind of going in front of the cop and celebrating in some fashion. Many people have asked me about that today. If you ask me, It's just a little sign to say thanks to the fans because it's actually the last home game before Christmas. So I don't think there was anything bad in it. But Jurgen Klopp taking Liverpool into the Europa League against Augsburg, do you think they're going to do all right here?
Oh, yeah, you'd say so. Augsburg, they were the surprise package of the Bundesliga last season. They came fifth in the end, which is absolutely fantastic for the club of their size. But they've been struggling this season. They've been conceding a lot more goals. So, for me, advantage for Liverpool. Obviously, Klopp's played Augsburg many times in his career. I think his record's pretty decent against them. So, it could be a thing where Liverpool, they may not, the consistency-wise in the Premier League, we saw at the weekend they struggled against West Brom. Before that, struggled against Newcastle. So, this could be the perfect avenue for them to sneak back into the Champions League and obviously get that massive revenue in.
Yeah, that's it. They need the money back in, don't they? That's what they want. They want to get into a Champions League and get that cash. I think this is actually Liverpool's best way of getting into the Champions League this year. Maybe it's the same for Spurs, or even though they're going a bit better in the league right now, but it's the best way to get into the Champions League, going through the back door.
You could say so, yeah. Arguably with Manchester United, they're so bang out of form at the moment that if they don't sort their form out in the league, the Europa League may be the best way to get back into the Champions League. I think what we'll see is English clubs taking it a little bit more seriously now. There is that sort of hook of getting into the Champions League for next season due to the competitiveness in the Champions League, in the Premier League, sorry. So it's one of those things where it's just going to be so exciting. I'm so excited with this tournament. You know, other exciting draws out there. You've got the like of Shakhtar Donetsk playing Schalke. That's
yes.
One to, again, to look out for. There's so many young, brilliant young attacking players in those games. So hopefully we'll start to love the Europa League. We'll learn to love it.
We'll learn to love it. It's going to be rammed down your throat. You're going to like the Europa League.
You better like it.
You're going to blooming love it. What about Valencia and Rapid Vienna? Gary Neville's first Europa League game in charge.
So that's quite an easy draw for Gary. Vienna haven't been the greatest in the Europa League, but this Valencia side just needs to start scoring goals. That's what they've been struggling this season. So if Gary makes some signings in January, gets some attacking players involved, you can see this Valencia team being, you know, one to watch in the tournament. But you've got to look at Sevilla as well, back-to-back winners. They could win it for the third time in the row. No team's ever done that. And they're playing at Mold, so they've got quite a good opportunity to progress. So they're the two teams that I wouldn't like to see that are some of the English sides drawn with, Sevilla and Valencia, in the next round.
Do you think they're going to give Gary some money in January to spend, with him only kind of initially being there for 5 months, because whether this is a long-term project for him, do you think they're going to give him some cash to spend?
Well, I think you've got Peter Lim's a close associate with Gary Neville. They worked together at Salford City. So if Peter Lim was going to give anyone some money in the short term, you'd think it'd be Gary Neville, whether they've agreed that before Gary Neville signed the contract. You know, probably don't know, but I reckon they will splash some cash in January.
I don't know whether you can think the same as me here. There's one more tie that kind of just sticks out, apart from Borussia Dortmund and Porto, which looks a pretty amazing draw as well. Just because of these two clubs and a bit of a history, and I know there's kind of a sort of feisty set of fans between both of them, Galatasaray and Lazio, that just sticks out for some reason.
It does, yeah. Very, very feisty affair. You know, you wouldn't want to be in the stands, the away end of both of those ties. That could be good for Galatasaray. They're doing pretty well in Turkey this season. Lazio have hit a little bit of a lull in their form. So it could be, dependent on who's in form and who's not in form in February, we could see a brilliant encounter.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to both the Champions League and the Europa League coming back. It is going to be absolutely cracking. What's going on in the Squawker then, Dave? What's happening?
Oh, well, we do football stats and that type of thing. We just compare players and so forth. But if you want to, for example, if you're a big Leeds United fan, you could go onto the rankings table and you could check out who's created the most chances for Leeds United this season in the Championship. And that man would be Stuart Dallas. So it's just giving football fans a little bit more information. So it's just one of those things where go over to squawker.com, that's spelled Squawka, check out your favourite team and see what stats you can pull.
Stuart Dallas with his majestic beard. He's got better facial hair than I'll ever be able to grow in my entire life. Dave, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Brilliant. Cheers, John. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Mate.